Religion loves Jesus the teacher, is even okay with Jesus the prophet. Religion is not okay with Jesus the breaker of bondage, the transformer of hearts, the savior of nations. Because the real Jesus is the anointed one. He doesn't just have good teachings, he is the breaker of bondage. He will transform you. But you gotta go after knowing him more. He's worth it. He's worth your time. He's worth your life. And there's nothing, this city, this nation, the nations of the world are not going to be transformed by a satisfied people. They're going to be transformed by lovesick warriors. Because if he's for us, who can be against us? If the king of the universe and all of his goodness, all of his backing, if all of heaven is for you, is standing behind you, supporting you, how could anything succeed against you? How could you fail? We could change the world. That's not just a fun phrase. If you'll give your life to this thing, to the real thing, if you'll find the real Jesus, the one who burns with eyes of fire, if you'll get a real hunger in your belly, there is nothing that can stop you.
It costs much, but it's worth the cost. It costs everything.
This is the Fire Podcast.
It's been such an honor to worship with you and to see your hunger for the Lord and your desire to welcome him here. And it's been an honor to meet some of you guys, receive a word from my friend over here as well. I've been so blessed being here amongst you guys, and I really believe that this is a special Sunday. I believe that the Lord wants to do something powerful. I didn't know Pastor Ryan was going to share that story about the seeker-sensitive movement and about welcoming the Lord back. But as we were in worship before, the Lord just dropped a word in my heart, and he reminded me that today is Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday is when Jesus was welcomed into the city, and the people were saying, "Welcome, Hosanna in the highest." They welcomed him into the city for Holy Week as he was about to be crucified. And I felt the Lord say that this morning is a significant morning in Seattle, where we are gathering together prophetically to welcome Jesus on Palm Sunday. We are welcoming him into the city. And so I just thought we could just take maybe a couple of moments. I know we've sung it prophetically and we've said, "Come, Lord Jesus," the whole way throughout our worship. But if we could even just take a moment just to pray and just to welcome the Lord to the city of Seattle, I believe that something is going to unleash prophetically over this city, that God is going to come and move in a powerful way. So, Lord, we just say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come to Seattle." God, where you have been rejected, where people have told you to leave, where they've pushed out the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the very power of God, the plan and the purpose of God for the church to go forward in Seattle. Lord God, we say, "Come, Lord Jesus." God, we welcome you here. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Father. God, we thank you that it is no coincidence that we have gathered in this room today, Lord God, to lift you up, to worship you, to welcome you to Seattle. Lord, on Palm Sunday, that we are saying, "Welcome to this city, Lord. Welcome in this place, Lord." We pray, God, that every person in Seattle, God, would have an encounter with you, Lord Jesus. God, that this community of people would take the body of Christ. We would reveal Jesus everywhere that we go, Lord. We thank you by the power of the Holy Spirit, God, that what you're doing in this room would not stay in this room, God, but it would impact a city, it would impact a nation and the nations of the world. God, just like the seeker-sensitive movement has impacted this city and the nation and the nations of the world, God, we thank you that what you want to do is so much better and so much bigger. And God, so we just thank you, Lord Jesus, that we would have your plan and your purpose and your mission and your heart for this city first, and God, then for the nation and the nations of the world. Jesus, you are welcome in this place. You are welcome in my life. You are are welcome in my heart, God. You are welcome in our hearts, Jesus. You are welcome, God, to come and take over. God, come and take your place. Jesus, you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. God, this is not about us and our agendas, Lord. It is about you, Lord Jesus, about you ruling and reigning, Lord Jesus. And so we just invite you, God, come and have your way. God, welcome to Seattle. Welcome to Seattle. Welcome to Seattle, Jesus. Welcome to Seattle. You are welcome in this place. We host you, Lord Jesus. We want you to come and make your habitation in Seattle, Lord Jesus. Thank you for lives that will be changed because you've come to our house today. God, just like you came to the house of Lazarus and he was totally, of Zacchaeus, sorry, he was totally changed and transformed in one moment when you came to his house. Thank you, Lord, that you are coming to the house of Seattle. You are coming to this place to change and transform lives, to change and transform a city. Lord God, all for your glory. We thank you for the future of Seattle, Lord. We just declare that this would be a place that will be known as a place of your abiding glory on the earth, Lord. Your abiding glory on the earth. Seattle would be known for your glory, for your manifest presence, Lord Jesus. That people would come here to be healed, set free, Lord. That you would break out in an incredible revival in Seattle, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord, for what the enemy meant for harm, what the enemy meant for evil. God, you are turning around for good, Lord. This is going to be a place that is known for your glory, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we invite you, come. We welcome you, Jesus. You are welcome in this place, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word today. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, thank you, Lord, and thank you guys so much. I'm honored to be here and to be sharing the word. As I was speaking to Pastor Ryan on the phone, I just felt like the Lord led me to just share a word on the Holy Spirit and just to teach into the topic of the Holy Spirit. So I'd love to start there. From Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And, you know, when we talk about welcoming Jesus into the city, I believe that it's not just something that we do, although it's most important to do this in prayer and in prophecy and in worship. It's also important for us to carry the Lord Jesus everywhere that we go, that he is the hope of glory on the inside of us, and that people are going to encounter Jesus and Jesus, his physical body that was here on the earth, through our physical bodies, going and telling them and taking the gospel everywhere that we go. The only way that we can reveal Jesus, the Bible tells us, is through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the only way that people will know Jesus. That is the only way that we will know Jesus and that the world will know him. And in John chapter 15 and verse 26, it says, "But I will send you the advocate, the Spirit of truth, and he will come to you from the Father, and he will testify all about me." And so the number one job description of the Holy Spirit, not like he was given a job description, but if he was, on his job description would be reveal Jesus, testify of Jesus. And so we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit working in us and through us to reveal Jesus both to us and to the world around us. As we were sitting in worship this morning and we were praying, I think just the first worship song we were singing, "Come Lord Jesus," by Jesus Image. And as we were worshiping, I just started to weep. I started to cry because the Lord reminded me that it was a group of people just like you guys gathering in a home praying for my family. That is part of the reason why I'm a Christian today, why I know the Lord today. So I was just overcome. I just started to weep. I was like, I can't believe I have the honor and the opportunity to share the word of God with people in a room just like this. In New Zealand, about 27 years ago, a group of people at a home group started praying for my family. I had been born into a Muslim family. So my dad is Persian. My mum is Irish. I was born in England. We moved to New Zealand when I was about 2 years old. And when I was 5 years old, there was a lot of tension in my family, in our home. My auntie had come to live with us from Iran. And we didn't know at the time, but she was actually schizophrenic. And so anyone who's dealt with mental illness, who knows what that's like, and especially in your home, it's just so intense, so hectic. So we had the three of us kids all under five, my mum and my dad, and my mum just couldn't handle it anymore. And she said to my dad, hey, if you don't get rid of your sister, I'm going to take the kids and we're going to leave. And so my dad, he was only in his early 30s. He's like, I don't know what I can do. Like, I can't kick her out on the street. They didn't have much money. And so he had no idea. He felt like his hands were tied. And so my mum said, that's it. We're leaving. We're going. I'm taking the kids and we're going to move into a women's and children's shelter. So we ended up living in this women's and children's shelter. And because we were in the shelter and because there was restraining orders and stuff on my family, my friends from school couldn't invite me over to their houses. And so their parents started to recognize that there was something going on in our family. And thank God those parents went to a Pentecostal church. They all loved Jesus and they got together in a home group just like this one night of the week, and they started to pray for my family. How many know that God believes in prayer, that he answers prayer, and that as we gather together in this room today, if we pray for something, the Bible tells us that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. And so God really answered their prayers. They started to pray for our family. There was another lady who lived down the road from us, who was one of our neighbors, and she went to this same church. And so she reached out to my mom. She prayed for us and she shared the gospel with my mom. And so my mom sort of received the gospel from her, and she had converted to Islam to marry my dad. She'd grown up Catholic, but as this lady was sharing with her about Jesus and about, you know, Jesus changing her life and rescuing her from her brokenness and setting her free, there was something in my mum's heart that said, what this lady's talking about is real. What she's carrying is real. And so my mum, with tears streaming down her face, gave her life to the Lord. And it was very unconventional. She got baptized in this lady and her husband's bathtub. And, you know, I don't know if you do what you got to do, I guess. But then she moved back in with my dad and she started going along to church with my dad. My dad actually started to come to this Pentecostal church. And so dad was just happy that, you know, his family was back together, that, you know, something was happening. And so dad sort of agreed to coming along to church with my mum. And so as we're sort of going along to church, my dad's sort of hearing about, you know, Abraham and, you know, different people like Moses. And he's like, yeah, I know these characters from Islam, like same, same, but different, right? But it's not same, same. Obviously, Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. And there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. And so my dad's hearing about the Holy Spirit as well in this Pentecostal church. And so as people are getting up, they're testifying to healings that people had received. And they're saying, you know, Jesus healed me of this and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, people were testifying that they'd been set free from addictions and different things like that. And so my dad's hearing about this Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. And being a Muslim, he was like, what's the Holy Spirit? Like, I've never heard about this Holy Spirit. And my dad is a professor of robotic engineering, so very intelligent sort of scientific guy. And so when he was in bed one night, he just thought, I'll do a science experiment on the Holy Spirit, right? so he decided, he's like lying in bed and he prays this prayer. He said, Holy Spirit, if you're real, then show me. And how many know that's a dangerous prayer for a Muslim to pray? Like, you don't want to be a Muslim praying that prayer. Like, God is going to get you, right? And so dad prays this prayer, and all of a sudden he just felt the wind of the Holy Spirit just blowing all over his body. And being the scientist that he was like, what a coincidence. Like, that's not possible. So he got up and he checked the windows, literally did not believe it, checked the windows, see if they were open, curtains, nothing was open. So he's like, this is a bit crazy. Goes back to bed. It happened a second time. And then it happened a third time, and he heard the voice of God speak to him and say, I want to show you that I'm real. I want to show you that Jesus is real. And so from that moment on, my dad became a Christian. He got baptized at this Pentecostal church, and my life was forever changed. From about 5 years old, I just saw my family go from complete darkness to light. We saw the Lord just come and rescue us out of just the horrible situation that we were in. And so I've never left the Lord, because I've seen him with my own eyes, you know, like change our family, and from a young age really encountered Jesus. And also, it's why I'm so passionate about the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit in the church, and what the power of the Holy Spirit can do to change lives and to move upon people's hearts who are far from God. I believe we so desperately need the power of the Holy Spirit. And so it's why it grieves my heart that, you know, the seeker sensitive movement pushed the Holy Spirit and things like signs and wonders and prophecies and things like the very things that saved my family, the very things that changed our lives have been removed from the church. And this is why the Lord's put it on my heart so passionately to really restore that to the church and to teach and minister on the Holy Spirit. And so I would love to share this morning just a few things that the Holy Spirit does when we encounter the Holy Spirit. I'd love to turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. The Holy Spirit comes and moves in power on the day of Pentecost in a room just like this, in a household. And so I really believe as we're gathered today, this can become an upper room in Seattle. This can become an upper room where the fire of God comes upon a people, upon a group of people following Jesus, waiting for the Lord Jesus to come upon us, to go out and see many lives changed and transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. We see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4 to 5 that Paul talks about not only preaching with persuasive words, but actually preaching with a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest in human wisdom, but on God's power. So much of the church that we know today that by the seeker-sensitive movement has been built on man's wisdom. And that is why it's crumbling. That is because it's a crumbling foundation. The wisdom of man will never save. It will never transform. It will never heal. It will never change us. And so we've resorted to man-made methods to try and do what only God can do, what only the Spirit of God can do. But through the demonstration of the Spirit's power, we can see lives changed. And in this passage of scripture in Acts, we really see the first time that the disciples encounter that manifest presence of the Lord, that manifest presence of God. You know, we know that there is the omnipresence of God, which you might have heard about. The omnipresence of God just means that God is everywhere. And he is everywhere at all times. He is everywhere. But I think it's Pastor Bill Johnson or Pastor Michael Koulianos. One of these guys says this: God is everywhere, but he is also somewhere. And when we say that God is somewhere, we're not talking about his omnipresence, which is everywhere. We're talking about his manifest presence. When we talk about the manifest presence of God, it's like the difference between sunlight and a laser beam. Both are light, but one form of the light is way more potent and powerful to cut, to change, to do things in a much more direct and powerful and potent way. And so when we say that God is somewhere, that the manifest presence of God is somewhere, we're saying that it's like this laser beam of God's presence that has the power to cut and change and transform and heal, and this manifest presence that we can feel that's tangible amongst us. I don't know about you, but I want to see the manifest presence of God restored in our churches, restored in our communities. As we gather together, I want to carry the weight of his glory. I want to carry the manifest presence of God with me everywhere that I go so that lives will be changed and transformed. I was going to the dentist one morning in Australia before I flew out to America. This was just last year in July. I went to the dentist. And I wasn't, you know, praying for all hours of the morning before I went to the dentist. I spent time with the Lord, but I wasn't intentionally like, Lord, I want to see souls saved today and changed and transformed. It's just a normal day, you know, just have my breakfast, spend time in the Word. But I went to the dentist, and there was just something about it. The glory of God was in that room, in that surgery. And I was like, this is weird that I feel the presence of God in this dental surgery. And as I'm talking to the dentist that day, he's sort of asking me about myself. And he's like, you know, what are you studying? I'm doing a PhD, and it's in theology. And so when people ask me what I'm studying, it's very difficult to sort of package it in a way that non-Christians would understand. So like, yeah, it's a PhD in theology. I'm looking at the history of, you know, the early church, and sort of looking at how we can implement best practice in the church today, like just using really secular terms, you know, to try and communicate why am I doing a PhD on this like historical thing. And so he's talking to me about that, and he said, well, what church do you go to? And I live in a city that's about an hour and 15 minutes away from my church, my home church that I'm based out of. It's called Numa Church in Melbourne. And so I live an hour and 15 minutes away, and the dentist that I was at is about 5 minutes from my house. So we were at this moment an hour and maybe a half away from my church. And so he said, what church do you go to? And I was like, oh, I go to this church called Numa Church. It's really far away. It's in Richmond. It's in Melbourne. And he's like, no way. I was like, yeah. And he's like, I live just a suburb away from that church, and I drive down here for work. And he said, it was Wednesday at the time. He said, on Sunday, my friend and I went to get Vietnamese rolls from the street that is just near your church. We walked past the church, we looked in the window, and we were trying to work out what was going on in there. It was on Sunday, and I was like, what the heck? And he said, yeah, do you think that's a coincidence? And I was like, no, I don't think that's a coincidence. And before I could say another word, he said, do you think I could come to your church one day? I was like, let me think about that. Yes, of course you can come to my church one day. And so we're having this conversation. I'm sort of shocked. I'm like, what is happening here? Like, this is crazy. And we're having this conversation. He says he wants to come to church. I was flying out to America that weekend, so I wasn't even going to be at church that weekend. And so he sends me a message on Sunday night. He says, hey, Layla, 5 minutes before the service, hey, Layla, I'm at your church. I'm just like at the service. I said, no worries. I'll get everyone onto you. Messaged all of my pastor friends. I was like, you've got to get my friend. Like, you got to get this guy saved. My dentist, like, he's come to the service today. Like, I got everyone welcoming him. And so they're all like bombarding him. He's at the service. And so this was July, August last year. And since that time, God has radically changed and transformed his life. He's given his life, surrendered his whole life to Jesus. Yeah, let's give it up for the Lord. The Lord has changed his life. He's joined a life group in our church. I was at a prayer meeting a few months ago, and I saw him like laying hands and praying for the senior pastors. I was like, what the heck is going on? Our church is like thousands of people, so I was like, crazy. A few weeks ago, just before I left to come here to America, he was playing guitar on our worship team on a Sunday morning. And I was just looking at him. I'm like, what the heck? That's my dentist. And I introduced everyone to at my church. I'm like, this is my dentist. And he's like, you don't have to call me your dentist. Like, you know, you can tell them that I'm just like a guy from church. But it's so wild to me what God has done in his life. All because everywhere that we go, we can actually carry that manifest glory of God, that presence of God, that presence of the Holy Spirit to draw people to salvation, to draw people to the Lord. And I just felt to stir us up today that everywhere we go, in every relationship that we have, God wants to use us in this harvest. The Bible says that the harvest is ripe. And hearing that story, I don't know about you, but I feel like this is harvest time. Like the harvest is ready. He just jumped into the boat, you know. He's like, yes, I'm here. The Lord is moving on his life. And I believe that there are so many people post-COVID who have just been through just such a horrible time, who are desperate for something real. They're desperate for Jesus. They know that there is something missing in their life. They just don't know where to find it. We see that this spiritual stuff is on the rise with young people. There's, you know, there's tarot cards available at fashion stores now. There's, you know, and numerology, angel numbers and all this sort of stuff going on, and star signs and all of this stuff that young people are getting into because they're hungry for something supernatural. They're hungry for God. They have a hole for Jesus that is ready to be filled by him. And we just need to be the people who take Jesus to the world, who reveal him to the world around us. So we see that they receive the power of the Holy Spirit to take Jesus to the world. And I believe that the first thing that the Holy Spirit does in our lives, besides revealing Jesus, is really making us holy as God is holy. You know, sometimes when I look at the state of the world, and especially cities like ours in Australia and Seattle and these cities, you're like, whoa, like God has got a lot of work to turn this around, right? Like there's so much sin, there's so much depravity, there's so much evil. But the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is the one who brings holiness. And so as we preach Jesus and as we carry the Holy Spirit and as we see lives changed and transformed, he has the power to make this place holy, to make us holy. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit brings the change. He is the one who brings the change in our lives and in our cities. And so when we're sharing the love of God with people, when we're sharing the gospel, no matter how dark it seems, I've been seeing like just like transgender flags everywhere I go in Seattle and everything like that. There's a generation just crying out for something. They want to be identified by something. There's, you know, the world is really shaping the way people think and live, but the Holy Spirit is able to change and transform from the inside out. It shouldn't scare us as a church. We shouldn't be getting, you know, like scared and all caught up in it. We need to know that, hey, as we preach Jesus, as the Holy Spirit comes, he is the sanctifier. He is the one who is going to change us. He is the one who's going to make us holy as he is holy, and change and purify our cities for him. The second thing that we see that the Holy Spirit does in our lives is he takes us deeper into the heart of God, deeper into relationship with the Lord. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The Holy Spirit's job really is to make biblical concepts experienced realities in our lives. And so the Holy Spirit takes things like the love of God that we know in the Bible. We know Jesus loves me, this I know, for God so loved the world. But he takes that from knowledge that we have in our heads, and he makes it an experienced reality in our lives so that we can actually feel the love of God in our hearts. We can experience what it feels like and what it is to be loved by God. It's not just something that we know in our heads, but something that we actually experience through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit desires to take us deeper into relationship with God. We actually see this in the picture of the tabernacle in the Old Testament. The tabernacle in the Old Testament is this picture of the presence of God and where God's manifest presence dwells on earth. That is the tabernacle in the Old Testament. And in the tabernacle, they actually had this thing called the table of the bread of the presence, or the table of showbread. And scholars have really discussed, you know, why would you have a table of bread when God doesn't need feeding? Like, God is all sufficient. He doesn't need us to feed him. He has everything that he needs. He doesn't need us to come and bring bread every week and have all these loaves and then change it next week so God can, you know, have a feast. No, what scholars have discovered through this table of showbread is that the reason why God has put this table of bread in his presence is to show that he is a God who wants to come and sit with us and eat with us and share a meal with us. And that is the most beautiful picture of his fellowship with us, his friendship with us, that he wants to take us deeper. You know, as we go over to people's houses, as we're so blessed to be at Pastor Ryan and Milka's house today, and as we share time in people's houses and share meals together, that is an intimate form of relationship, of a deep friendship with each other as we get to know each other and as we get to spend time in each other's presence. And so we see in this picture of the tabernacle that we have a God who doesn't keep us at arm's length, who isn't just out there telling us what to do and putting all the rules there and, you know, just instructing us on daily living. He is a God who says, I want to be with you. I want to sit with you. I want to do life with you. I want to know you. I want you to know me. And so the Holy Spirit, as we encounter him, he takes us deeper into our knowledge of the Lord. He takes us deeper into the heart of Jesus. He takes us deeper into just knowing everything about him and who he is and who we are in him. He takes us deeper in this relationship with the Lord. The third thing that I want to share is that the Holy Spirit marks us as well. The Holy Spirit marks us. He gives us an anointing that comes with being in the presence of God and being in the Holy Spirit. In the tabernacle as well, they had what was called the anointing oil, and this oil of incense that they would mark everything in the presence with. And so they would take this oil, which was like a perfume. It had different fragrances in the oil. And they would put it on different things, and they would put it on the priests and different things like that. And the Lord says in the Pentateuch, in the first five books of the Bible, he really outlines this law and how they are to go about doing, you know, the tabernacle and setting up the tabernacle. And one of the things he says is you cannot use the fragrances, the ingredients for the anointing oil for any other perfume or any other oil on this earth. If you copy it, you know, you're dead. Like, God was really serious about this. He was like, there is no copying the fragrances and the combination of fragrances that is in the anointing oil. The reason for that was when anyone smelt that fragrance of that anointing oil, they knew that whatever that was coming off had been in the presence of God. Whatever was carrying that fragrance had been in the presence of the Lord. And in the same way, as we sit in the presence of the Holy Spirit, as we encounter him, his oil rubs off on us, that fragrance of this oil that the world cannot imitate, the world cannot copy, the world cannot recreate. And that anointing oil comes and empowers us to do what the world cannot do. And so whether you're a preacher or, you know, you've got a job in the secular sort of marketplace, whatever it is that the Lord has called you to, whatever mission field God has anointed you for, he is giving you an anointing that the world cannot imitate or copy. He is making you stand out above the rest. He is putting a mark on you to draw all people to Jesus. He is putting a mark on you to show that there is something different about you. There is something different about the way that you do your job. There's strategy that you have that is incredible. There's opportunities. There's open doors for you that other people don't have. Why? Because you are marked by the anointing of heaven. You are marked by an anointing and a fragrance that the world cannot copy. There is something on you that is so powerful. The Holy Spirit marks us. And the fourth and final thing I want to share is that the Holy Spirit empowers us. He gives us power. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will bear witness to me everywhere. We have power to bear witness to Jesus, to show the world that Jesus is who he says he is. And in this empowering, we get given spiritual gifts. I believe this morning as we pray, or this afternoon as we pray for one another, I believe that the gifts of the Spirit are going to flow in this place. The gifts of the Spirit are for the whole body, to build up the body. The gifts of the Spirit aren't just for the preachers. They're for every one of us to move and to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, in healing, in prophecy, in different gifts. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, it says a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. We are given gifts to build up the body of Christ, to change the world around us. And one story that I'm reminded of when I think of the gifts of the Spirit is my friend, his name's Adam. He grew up in a Muslim household as well in Melbourne. And when he was about 15 years old, his parents split up, they got a divorce, and it was very shameful for their family. And so it was a really horrible time for him as a teenager, and he just spiraled out of control. He ended up, you know, doing drugs, just getting wasted on alcohol, all the sorts of things that you could do. He would just go out partying every night. As he grew up, as he was sort of in his early 20s, he would just go out to nightclubs night after night, just party, do whatever, do drugs, and then come to work in the morning. And he worked in airport security at Melbourne Airport. And so as he's working at Melbourne Airport, there were some guys who were Christians who were part of the airport team, the security team. And so they just shared the love of Jesus with him. They would just, you know, tell him that Jesus loved him, and that, you know, that he was invited to church and he could come over to their houses. And he's like, nah, I don't want anything to do with religion. I hate religion. You know, he had this, it left a very bad taste in his mouth, you know, coming from that background. And he was like, nah, I don't want anything to do with it. Like, what do you believe in Santa Claus too? Like, just mocked them endlessly. And so they just kept sharing the love of God with him. They just wouldn't give up. And I believe that the Lord is raising up a generation of people, a people of God, who just won't give up on people, who just know that the Holy Spirit is going to get them. The Holy Spirit is going to come through. Jesus is going to be revealed to them. God is actually powerful to save to the uttermost. There is no heart that is too hard for God to come and shine his light into them. And so these guys just kept believing God and just kept sharing the love of God with him. And so one day, because they had sort of like picked him up, like when he would come to work, they would pick him up. He'd be on park benches and just wasted and stuff. And they would pick him up and bring him to work and just share, you know, look after him. And so one day he was really moved by what they had done for him. And he prayed this prayer in Melbourne Airport in the car park. He just prayed, God, if you're real, then prove it. And as he prayed that prayer, I don't think he really thought about it after that, but he went into work that day. And as he's at work, someone comes through the airport security line. And as they're walking through the line, they look at my friend Adam and they just said, hey, man, like, you don't know me. This might sound a bit weird, but I'm a Christian. And I felt God tell me to tell you that Jesus loves you and he has a plan for your life. And such a simple thing. Like, if any of us got that, like, we'd just be like, oh, is that the Lord or is that just my head, you know? Like, but the Lord dropped that in someone's spirit and they were bold enough and confident enough to share it and believe the Holy Spirit is speaking through me to this guy on this airport security line. And my friend Adam was like, what? Like, that's crazy. And it's just thinking about it, like, the guy just left. And then another person comes about an hour later and they come through the line and they said, oh, hey, man, I'm a Christian and I believe that, you know, the Lord told me to tell you that he heard the prayer that you prayed this morning and he wants you to know that he loves you. He has a plan for your life. And my friend Adam was like, this is trippy. This is creepy. He yells out to the guys who are Christians and he's like, oi, take me to the priest. I'm going to become a Christian. Literally, yes. Praise God. Hey, he didn't know anything about this Christianity thing. He gets baptized. Right now, he is a senior pastor in New Zealand and he has seen thousands of people come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior just because a few people carried the presence of God into work and a few people heard from the Lord. They shared, come on, they shared the word of the Lord, a word of knowledge with someone who was far from God. Do you know what? I believe that Seattle is waiting for every single person in this room to carry the power of God out to the streets, not just to have it in the upper room, but for it to spill out into the streets. So just like that day of Pentecost, 3,000 people could come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior on that day. God wants to deposit the power of the Holy Spirit into us to go out onto the streets, to preach the gospel, to share the gifts of the Spirit with the people who are far from God, to show them that there is a real God who has come to Seattle. There is a real Jesus that is here to be revealed to the world. The Bible says that he has not left us without evidence. He has given us, he has made us witnesses, and he has given us power, power, power to change the world, power to carry the gifts of the Spirit, power to reveal Jesus. And so Jesus, just with every head bowed and every eye closed right now, God, we ask for an upper room encounter this morning, God. We thank you that you would bring your fire upon us, Lord. God, that you would just deposit the Holy Spirit into us, God, in a fresh way, God. Thank you, Lord, for an outpouring that we have all already encountered in our lives individually, that we already know the power of the Holy Spirit. But God, thank you that there is more. There is so much more. God, you want to do more in us and through us. You want to take us deeper into your heart, deeper into our knowledge of you, deeper, Lord, into our just our synergy with the Holy Spirit, God. One of the prayers I've been praying is, Lord, teach me to dance with you. Teach me, Lord, to move with you as you're moving. Teach me to know where you're going. Teach me to know where you're leading. And so God, I pray that over this room right now, God, that as we go into our weeks, as we do what you've called us to do in our workplaces, our different areas, I know there's engineers and people in health and different things that people are called to do in this room. God, would you let us dance with you in this season, God? I pray, God, that as we do, we would move with the Holy Spirit, God, that you would use us in a powerful way to draw people unto yourself, Lord. I thank you, God, that revival is going to break out in Seattle, Lord. Revival is going to break out because there are hungry people full of the Spirit of God that are going to take the fire of God, those tongues of fire, the fire of God to the streets, God. We just thank you, God. Empower us, anoint us right now, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord God, give us the gifts of God. Give us this, give us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Even right now, God, I thank you that there's gifts of healing that people have been praying for to heal the sick. God, I thank you that there would be a new dimension that they would walk in that gift of healing, God, as they step out, as they see sick people or they come across sick people at their workplace or on the streets or at school or university, wherever they are, God, I thank you that you would move in your healing power in a powerful way. God, if there are people in this room today that need healing, God, right now, we just thank you for your healing power to be poured out on us. We thank you, Jesus, that by your stripes we are healed. By your blood we are healed, Lord Jesus. I'm just reminded last week there was a woman in a meeting that I was preaching out in Palm Springs. She had had scoliosis since she was a child. She's in her 70s now, and she was completely healed from scoliosis, completely healed. I got an email this morning from the pastor just as I was on my way here this morning. I just believe that the Lord wants to build our faith for signs, wonders, miracles, healings. So if you need a healing right now, why don't you just lift up your hands to the Lord? And if there's someone next to you with their hands raised that needs healing, could you just put your hand on them and just release healing over their bodies? God, we just release your healing power over their bodies right now, Lord. Jesus, I thank you that you are the healer. God, God, as your body was broken, through your broken body, our bodies are made whole, Lord. God, we thank you for the testimony of healings from this room this morning. God, we thank you for your compassion to heal the sick, Lord. Your compassion to heal the sick, God. You love us and you want to heal us, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for signs and wonders and miracles, not just for us, God, but for us to carry that to the world around us, Lord, to extend the compassion and the love of Jesus everywhere that we go through healing, Lord God, through healing, Jesus, through healing, Lord. I pray for a wave of healing, God, to hit Seattle, for signs and wonders to grab the attention of this city, God. Oh, I pray for healing to break out in Seattle, Lord. Signs and wonders and miracles that cannot be denied, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God, for your healing power that is going to draw people to yourself, Lord Jesus. Come and heal, God. I just pray even in this moment right now, Lord God, that you would activate us in words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And in the prophetic, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that even right now, people who have felt a stirring to go after the prophetic are going to be given that gift of prophecy in the room right now. God, I just pray blessing over this community, Lord, over this church, God, over Pastor Ryan and Milka, Lord. God, can we just extend our hands to them right now? Lord God, I thank you that you have put a fire on the inside of them, Lord God. You have spoken words of prophecy, Lord God, to draw them to this place, to draw them to this city. God, I just declare right now they are here for such a time as this, where it felt like the timing was different, where it felt like the timing was earlier on. You are saying, now is my appointed time. This is my appointed time. This is my moment. This is the seed. This is the opening. This is the open door. I am using you to bring my presence to Seattle. I am using you to bring Jesus to Seattle, to bring the purity of the bride back to Seattle. Lord God, we just thank you for a fresh anointing on Pastor Ryan and Pastor Milka right now, Lord. I pray, God, for an outpouring of your spirit, God, to refresh them, to anoint them, to overflow in them, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that they would have encounters with you even this week, Lord. You would take them deeper than they have ever been before, God. That they would get so desperate for you, Lord God, so desperate for your presence, God, that they would not be satisfied with where they've been. You would take them deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And God, I thank you that you're showing them realms of your glory that you want to bring to the people of Seattle, that you want to bring to the church of Seattle, God. What you do in them will overflow in this city, in this community, God. And so, God, right now, I just thank you that this is your appointed time. Yeah. Now is the time. Rivers in the desert, God. Streams in the wilderness. Roads in the wilderness. God, I thank you that you are saying, this is my appointed time. Do you not perceive it? Right now. Now is the time. Now is the time. God, I just speak favor. I speak divine opportunities. Doors that they've knocked on before that have been closed will right now be open to them because it is your appointed time. And it is your due season. Lord, I thank you that they have not grown weary in doing good. They have stayed faithful, even when it's felt like all hell has broken loose against them. And God, right now I thank you that you are faithful to them as they have sowed seeds, as they have stayed faithful, as they have not grown weary in doing good. I thank you, Lord, that they are going to reap a harvest. There is a harvest, God, that you are bringing, God, a harvest of souls, a harvest of lives changed, Lord. I thank you for baptism. I just see baptism after baptism after baptism after baptism. I see you guys baptizing whole families. I see families, families coming to know the Lord. I see you baptizing whole families. God, I thank you what you did in my family. That is just a prophetic picture of what you are going to do through through this couple and through this community, God. We are going to see family after family after family, God, changed and transformed by the gospel of Jesus, by you, Lord Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for families. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Ramanda Radabase. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that you would raise people up to carry, Lord God, the vision that is in their hearts, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are inspiring people's hearts, Lord God, even right now, God. I thank you, God, that you're awakening something in us, Lord God, to carry the vision, God. I thank you that you would bring many from all over, hungry ones, burning ones, hearts on fire, God, to carry this same vision of this fire movement, this encountering the fire of God in Seattle, God. Use us, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Fire Podcast with Ryan Rhodes. Fire Movement has a mission to bring people face to face with the real Jesus. If you love this show and ministry, please consider subscribing, leaving a 5-star rating, and most importantly, sharing the podcast with others on social media. Also, would you please consider one-time or monthly support to help us sustain and grow this show, so that others can be stirred to hunger for more of the real Jesus? You can do so by going to firemovement.com/support, Venmo at Fire Movement, or Cash App $FireMovement. Thank you.